That again is the ensemble known as Alash, playing live here on WFMU. And I'm here with their interpreter, Sean Quirk, who is helping me to understand a little bit about their music and everything. This whole tradition of overtone singing is just mind-boggling to me, because there's so many pitches involved with where the music can go. And I just wonder, do they learn this from a very young age? Is it sort of inbred in the culture?
Yeah, it's people sometimes get the impression that this is only something that, you know, a very select group of people who've been groomed, you know, since birth, you know, or since their grandparents were born or whatever, you know, can mm-hmm. do. But this is the folk music of Tuva, and even though right. some of the songs do have really sort of serious themes, you know, themes that are more like spiritual or internal or whatever, but, you know, a lot of them, like we talked about horses and women and stuff, and the singing itself, too, is just a component of the overall way of perceiving and making sound that the Tuvan people have developed over the last who knows how many thousands of years of living in a very close connection with nature and the sounds of nature, being nomadic people. So, you know, each of these guys started, Body started when he was really young, but the rest of them started when they were maybe 10 or 11, 12 uh-huh. years old. But it's just really common. I mean, for instance, I've been living in Tuva for the last 8 years. My wife is Tuvan, mm-hmm. and her cousin came to live with us for a couple of years.
Right.
And I would be throat singing running around the house. And one day, about 6 months after her cousin came to live with us, I came home unexpectedly. He didn't think I was home, and I caught him in the bathroom throat singing.
Oh,
he was practicing, you know, because and that's the thing, is people just hear it from their uncle or their grandpa or their dad or a friend or whatever, and then they just begin to practice it themselves, and it's really just a natural thing. It's not really taught so much in any kind of formal way.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lovely tradition. And we were just talking off mic about someone here who sort of incorporates the whole overtone singing thing, David Hikes, who I've had on this program a couple of times. I have to think that he would love to, you know, do something with these folks.
I would say eventually our roads, our paths will probably cross. Mm-hmm. We've been very lucky in the 11 tours that we've done. We've managed to cross paths with a lot of really interesting musicians. Just a couple days ago, we had an amazing collaboration with a band called The Horseflies in Ithaca.
Oh, I know them. Yeah.
They're awesome.
I almost brought their CD today.
Oh, you should have. We got one in the car.
Ah.
We played also last week with a bassist and composer named Garth Stevenson, who's based here in New York. Also, mm-hmm. His music is also very based sort of in nature. And, you know, we had a lovely collaboration with him. So, you know, the thing about this music is, and part of it is because each of the members of Alash is such an excellent musician, but also the music, even though it's very exotic and very strange, it has this amazing flexibility mm-hmm. where Alash finds a way to flow it into sort of any music that they're with. And it's really amazing because, you know, at first I think people hear Tuvan throat singing, or, you know, 20 years ago when it first started coming to the United States, it's being built just sort of on the fantastic nature of the throat singing.
Right.
Which is great, but it leads people to think that it's a music with not a lot of opportunity. It's just a one-trick pony, as it
mm-hmm.
were. And, you know, it's kind of our job 20 years later as the second generation of singers who can no longer capitalize merely on the strange nature of it. You know, we really have to show that this is a fully cohesive, you know, sound perception and way of making music, you know, that's totally independent, but that also can fully stand up with any other
right.
style of music and join together and blend together and make awesome new things.
Right. Well, I know they've done some collaborating with Bella Fleck and Victor Wooten on a Christmas album,
mm-hmm.
and I think Victor making a guest appearance on one of the tracks on the album here.
That's right. The first instrumental piece that we played today, Bura, plays on that. It's the last track on our new album, Bura. That album was recorded at Victor's house in the basement.
Oh, very nice.
The engineer was the guy who does the front of house sound for the Flecktones. He's also a recording engineer.
Yeah,
Richard,
yeah.
He's amazing, excellent guy. He's kind of like our band uncle.
Oh, great.
You know, he keeps us in line and takes care of us. And there's a deep connection with them there, because they did stuff with Kongoro Londar in the 90s, who was, you know, he was one of these front, you know, pioneers who brought throat singing out to the world. world.
Yeah.
And we ended up hooking up with them. And yeah, first it was the Christmas album, and then we did some tours with them, you know, related to the Christmas album.
Yeah.
And then in May of 2010, we went down to Nashville with Richard and Victor, and then we recorded the album that's here today on the console.
Oh, very cool. And now they don't specifically listen to folk music from home. They listen to other things as well, right?
Oh, yeah. We listen to everything. I mean, you know, musically, the inside of our car is like the super Chinese buffet. You know, we got the hamburgers. We got the noodles. We got the salad, because we're listening to all kinds of things. You know, like I mentioned, the Horseflies. We listen to Tuvan rock and roll music. We listen to Johnny Cash. We listen to beatboxing.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to classical orchestras. We listen to gospel music. You know, Irish music, bluegrass, just anything we can get our ears on, as it were.
Right.
The guys are really just avid listeners and love to listen to new stuff.
What's a current favorite on the tour?
Let's see, what are we listening to a lot on this tour? Sainko Namtulak, she's a Tuvan singer originally, but she's gone off into this whole very avant-garde thing. Mm. She lives in Europe. Sainko Namtulak is amazing. And she does this one album where she's telling a story. It's a Tuvan story about a spring. It's a legend, it's a myth, but it's set to music. And it's very sort of very forward-thinking, and she's this amazing, amazing vocalist. Not so much of a throat singer, just a regular vocalist. We've been listening to that. What else? A lot of Indian music on this tour. The Indian Ali Farkature is constantly on the playlist. Boubacar Traore. More than I can count. You know, seems like every tour there's a few albums that are coming in more than others. But maybe we're not driving as much this year.
I guess we got a pretty even
spread.
Oh well. Hey, I should mention again the gig that's tonight, which is it is held at the.
Dance New Amsterdam, it's called.
Yeah, Dance New Amsterdam. It's on Chambers Street in Manhattan, and it's a 280, actually 280 Broadway, second floor, but you enter on Chambers Street. And for information, 212-227-9856. Show is at 7:15. Odd time to start, but doors open at 6:30, and it's run by something called the Snob Project. Do we know what that is?
Luckily, I no longer do the booking for the band. I'm just the road manager. So I'm, because I spend most of my time in a log cabin in Tuva as well. But I'm looking forward to finding out who these Snob Project people are as well. We're very grateful that the whole thing came about because the very first time Alash came to the United States, we were sponsored by a program called the Open World Cultural Leaders Program, which sponsored by the Library of Congress. They brought us over there, and unfortunately, due to all the nasty budget cuts that are happening, I guess that program is going to be put away, which is really, really unfortunate.
That's a shame. Yeah.
But the woman who was in charge of that program is originally from Russia. She lives here in New York for many years, but she's hooked it up. So, I can't tell you. If you want to know what the Snob Project is, you got
to
come down.
Well, I would say go to the show anyway, whatever it is. It is going to be a bit in Russian, but I think that it'll be, it will transcend
the music will all
language.
Be the same. Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm here with Sean Kirk, and I'm Irene Trudell. The members of Alash are in the other room. Would they be willing to do one more?
Let's do some more music, yeah.
Yeah.
One more song sound good?
Sure. Yeah, that would be lovely. And
I think this is going to be one about, looks like it's going to be one about good horses and pretty girls.
Oh, and before they start, I should ask about the instruments that they're playing, because I don't exactly, they look like... they've got some strings on them and that sort of thing, but I really have no idea what they are. So maybe let's go from left to right, because people will hear that in their field of listening.
In this song, we're only actually going to have one instrument.
Oh, okay.
It's a plucked instrument called the Dashpalur. It's kind of like a Tuvan banjo.
Right.
You know, it's a skin box with skin on each side and a neck.
And it's square rather than round.
It's square rather than round. But you can make them round, too.
Of course,
You could make them pentagonal, I guess, if you wanted to. I don't know how it would sound, but... And we heard from left to right earlier, we heard an instrument called the bazanchi that was on the far left. That's an instrument, it's bowed. It's got four strings, and the bow actually has two separate strings, and they go, each string is responsible for one pair of strings that are on the instrument. So the bow is actually woven through the strings. Like a Chinese erhu, actually.
But
the erhu has two strings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the agil, we heard, that's the instrument with, it's a two-stringed, it's called the horse head fiddle. It's got a horse's head carved on top. Some people might be familiar with the morankhur, which is a Mongolian modernized version of this instrument that has more of a wooden box body, where the agil still has, it's like a big wooden spoon with skin stretched over the face. And then, of course, we've got Ayan, our percussionist, who's got his big kengirge, which is a drum that came in with the Buddhists in the 18th century, as well as some horse gear on top there, which we're going to hear in this song.
Huge sound to it. All right, well, let us hear from Alash one more time on WFMU.